I started a new series last week, and if you would like to know where we're going from here, next week's message you can see is the sling and four stones, and in the midweek message this week, I'll put all the sermons down that we have, so just to let you know about that. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to Psalm 34? I told the first service that we'll just read just part of it, and then I ended up reading the whole chapter. Because where I was going to stop, I thought, well, there's only two verses left, so might as well finish it up. So Psalm 34. And the theme is break those chains, or break every chain. And then today's message is fear loses its grip. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who hear him, who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Every strong, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Let's pray, please. Father, as we've read Psalm 34, and as we've contemplated the whole idea of faith over fear, we can see that David gives us some fantastic lessons. So I pray that you'll help us to have a heart that is ready to hear, minds that are open to hear your truth, and just be ready to say, Lord, speak to me this morning through your word. I pray that you'll help us to just be able to concentrate on this passage and what David is trying to tell us. Help us to defeat the fear that wants to push us down, defeat the fear that wants to hold us back, to defeat the fear that wants to chain us. And then, Lord, as I bring the message this morning, I pray that you'll help me to recall the things that I've studied, but more than anything, that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. There are certain dates that are cemented in our brain, or they should be. July 4th, 1776. That should be cemented in our brain. September 11th, 2001. Should be cemented in our brain. December 25th of any year is cemented in our brain. November 5th, 1955. That's the date that Doc Brown slipped on his toilet while hanging a clock, and he had a vision of a flux capacitor, which made time travel possible. And I know that that's mine, but, you know, that's okay. I know that's my kind of thing, so just forgive me for that. Okay, let's go back to my original thought. Certain dates stick in our minds. Weddings, funerals, births, important dates. Here's one. 2020. Don't need to say much more about that because that kind of sticks in your brains because that was the year from you know where. And word and word defines it all. You say one word and everybody knows what you're talking about, and that's the word COVID. And I can remember, even though I ended up getting it, I refused to live my life in fear. I wore a mask only when I had to, like when I went to the hospital. I continued to work out. I just refused to live my life in fear. In fact, Tammy made this shirt that I now have on, of faith over fear. And even though I was its victim and I got it bad, I still refused to live my life in fear of it. Sadly today, though, many people live their lives in fear. I realize that there are some fears that are ingrained in people. And they are there. Like, for example, fear of open air. Fear of closed spaces. Claustrophobia. Fear of crowds. Fear of spiders. Fear of snakes. And we could go on and we can go on and on. And I don't say this flippantly. I don't say it maliciously. I don't say it callously. But fear is one of those emotions that God has said we don't need to be a slave to. And that's why Psalm 34. Because Psalm 34 gives us some great advice on how to conquer fear and to live a life of faith over fear. Now, David has written Psalm 34, so let's first of all take a look at his personal testimony. And I suspect many of you have done what a lot of other people do when you read, particularly in the Psalms, you pass over things. The case in point is Psalm 34, and let me explain that. This is one of the 14 Psalms introduced by words linking them to an event in David's life. Okay? It's not just a Psalm of David. There is an event that has linked this Psalm to his life. So I want you to read the introduction part of it, and maybe you have this in your Bible. If not, then please listen along. The beginning of verse 34, before verse 1, it says, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. Now, let me give you the background to that to understand what was going on. David was fleeing from King Saul. Saul was after his life. And the circumstances seemed so desperate that David actually left his own land and he found himself at the gate of the Philistine army, the Philistine king, Achish, who was the king of Gath. Now, some of you may know this, and if you don't, that's okay. Who was from Gath? Goliath. Now, you understand then that David finds himself at the gate of the king of the man he killed. So David has, to make matters worse, David has just received the sword from the priest Abimelech, which he used to kill Goliath. So now he finds himself at the gate of this king of Gath. Now, David had to have been afraid of the king as well. Because if you read the story in 1 Samuel, you find out that David, it says, he scratched the door and then he let saliva run down his beard. In other words, he was acting crazy. And what's interesting is what the king said. He said, he sarcastically said, I have enough medmen running around my town without adding one more. So David left and David's life was spared. Now he writes Psalm 34 because he has been running from King Saul. He's gone to the king of Gath, and there was fear there. Now David is writing Psalm 34. So it's going to be a personal testimony to start with. First of all, David's first response to all of that was praise. Look at the words in verses 1 to 3. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. And then he invites everybody else to join him. He says, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness and let's exalt his name together. I like to add another truth to this, and that is that this Jesus promised that he would be with us in the midst of our trouble. And that gives us a reason to praise the Lord at all times. Admittedly, it is hard sometimes to praise God when everything is wrong. I'm going to admit that. When we are in a valley, it's hard to say, thank you, Lord. I praise you because you're good. I've been listening to a song recently, and these are some of the lyrics to it. It says, I praise in the valley, I praise in the mountain. I praise when I'm sure, I praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered, I'll praise when I'm surrounded, because praise is the waters my enemies drown in. In other words, when we learn to praise, that which is around us becomes smaller because they don't seem so big and they don't seem so mountainous. So David's first response was that of praise. His second response was giving testimony to God's constant presence. Look at verses 4 through 7. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and he saved me from all my troubles, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. You can't help but read those verses. You can't help but read those verses and sense David was aware of God's presence in every moment of his life. No matter how tough it got, David was aware of the presence of God. Now, here's the important thing. David was still a fugitive. He was still alone. He was still running from Saul. He ran from Saul for 7 years because Saul wanted to kill him. Now, what's important to see is that even though all this was happening, God didn't immediately change the circumstances to benefit David. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I prayed, God, you got to make it better now. Doesn't always happen that way. And David is a perfect example of that. That even though he prayed and he realized God's presence was with him, he also knew and saw that the circumstances were not going to change at the moment. The promise of prayer does not mean that God will change every difficult thing in your life. But what he does tell us is he can and will still use us. So that's David's personal testimony. Now, let's move on and let's look at some teaching that David gives to us, and hopefully I'll be able to share with you. First of all, David has experienced the goodness of God, and he has seen that God is satisfying. So he invites us with eight words that change everything. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Those eight words change everything, and I want to break them down. Number one, we are invited to personally experience him. Psalm 34 does not invite us to know the Lord or to study the Bible or to study the Lord or to see the Lord, but it does invite us to taste the Lord. Jesus invited people to come to him, and drink. He invited people to feast on him. these words are telling us, and this is important, is that God has invited us to go beyond a personal knowledge to a personal experience. He wants us to go beyond knowing Him to experiencing Him. He wants us to go beyond a book knowledge to knowing who He is. Let me explain it this way. Let's suppose that you have this book. You know all 66 books, and you can start from Genesis and go all the way to Revelation, and you can stick your chest out and say, I know the books of the Bible. And you can know John 3:16. You can know certain passages of Scripture. That is not what He's talking about here. He's not talking about knowing a book. He's talking about having a personal experience with Jesus, a personal experience with God. Taste needs to be experienced. You know, there are certain foods that I don't like. Most people know I don't like coconut. I don't like Parmesan cheese, you know, the smelly stuff that you shake. And there's some other things that I don't like. When we first moved here, I had never had Chinese food. I live in a family that goes, ew, with Chinese food. Well, Diana was here, and our youth pastor at the time said, let's go eat. Where are we going to go? China Star in Ellisville. And I thought, okay, I've never had Chinese food. I'm game. I was blown away. I love it. It became my favorite restaurant to eat at. And if I didn't want to be like this, I would go there all the time. I love Chinese food. Now, the other two of my family have never changed, but I love it. You know what made the difference? I tasted it. I didn't just look at it and go, ew. I tasted it. And when I tasted it, it made all the difference in the world. We used to sing an old hymn. Some of you remember this. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord to me. God's word is that bread. Do you want to desire life and enjoy what is good according to verse 12? Taste and see. Do you want to have God and have His ear? Taste and see. Do you want to have refuge in a time of trouble? Taste and see. But it comes from action. You know, you can have all kinds of food in front of you and you can say, well, that sure looks good. And then again, it doesn't. Maybe it does, but until you taste it, you never know. And that's what it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we are invited to personally experience Him. Second, we are actively pursue Him. Taste is a command that demands action. I've just given you an illustration. You have a table full of food, and you can sit there and go, well, that sure looks good. That doesn't look good. That looks good. But until you taste it, you never know. And that's exactly what David is saying here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever tried force feeding a child? What do? Well, they do whatever it takes not to eat. They will clench their teeth. They will close their mouth. They will take it in and spit it back out, and they're going to tell you, not today. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, keep on seeking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. Jesus wants us to experience Him. Not a book knowledge of Him. He doesn't want us to read a bunch of books about Him. He doesn't even want us to read the Bible about Him if we're not going to experience Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 9 tells us to fear the Lord. Verse 10 tells us to seek the Lord. Verse 14 says, turn away from evil. Verse 14 also says, seek and pursue peace. And you go on and on. David is giving his personal testimony, but he's also giving us some fantastic teaching on things to taste and see that the Lord is good. And finally, we're invited to be fully satisfied in Him. Check out the words in verses 17 through 22. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, and not one of them is broken. And then he talks about calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished, but the Lord will redeem those who serve him and the one who takes refuge in him. Let me put it this way. Stop feasting on junk food and start feasting on God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You saw, the important thing to see is the reason we find ourselves satisfied only in Him is because we are created that way. Try as we may, we will never find satisfaction somewhere else. This past, a couple weeks ago, I read an article about a singer who's lost a lot of weight, and his name will be not mentioned. But in this article, he talked about how he was a binge eater. And even now that he's lost all this weight, he talks about one hamburger is not enough. One anything is not enough. He's tempted to keep trying to satisfy his addiction. We do the same thing. And what David is telling us, what God is telling us, is taste and see that I'm good enough. I am enough for you. You don't need anything else but me. Because you see, there's only one who can satisfy us. Only Jesus can satisfy a hunger for more. There's a battle that we fight every day. And that battle is only going to be won when we understand whom we have to run to. So Jesus is all for us. And He is all, He's there. He did not, for the joy set before Him, endure the cross and then only to abandon us. Instead, when we bear our cross, He's bearing it with us. But He wants us to realize that He is there with us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Pursue Him, personally experience Him, actively pursue Him, and be fully satisfied in Him. I want to close a little different. I want to show you a video. I became aware of this video a couple of weeks ago, and it has rocked my world. I sent it to Tammy, and she actually came back to my room to make sure that her dad was there. She said, because it is so unlike you to send something like this. I like rock music. I think everybody knows that. This is not it. It's not definitely not country, and it's not rap. So, you know, we're good to go on that. But this is a total different song than she ever expected me to send to her. If you're watching online, it's going to be muted. We can't show it online. I mean, we could show it, but you cannot hear it. You're going to get the chance to hear it. And I hope that it blesses you like it blesses me.
When the days are dark and the waiting's long, when my heart feels weak and my strength is gone, still I lift my hands to the faithful one. You are good, and I know you're not done. I will praise you even in the storm. I will trust you.
When the prayers I've prayed seem to fade away, and the answers hide behind the pain, still I'll stand, still I'll sing. You are my hope, my refuge, my King.
Psalm 34. And I hope and pray that you will remember that no matter what happens, even though the storms come, we can still praise him because he's there. Let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll, can we have the lights, please? Have a closing prayer, and then we'll do our blessing. Father, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray that you will help us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Help us not just to make words come out of our mouth, but actually help us to have those words come out of the truth in our hearts. Help us to be sensitive to you. Help us to experience you. Help us to pursue you with all that we have. And help us to realize that you're the one who's in control and you're the only one who can satisfy. So go with us this week. I pray that you'll begin a revolution in our heart. I pray that you'll help us to see that the bondage, the chains of fear can be broken when we trust you. That's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. But I pray that you'll set us free from the chains that bind us. Go with us this week and help us to not only be ministered to, but to minister to others. And I ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do our blessing, please. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Thank you for being with us today. Go with him this week.